Sagt der Heilige Mishnah weiter im Mesechtes Tumura, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Hey. So when mixed up truma gets mixed up with other truma, it's not as strict as to start with. When a dough made by Sa'ar of truma rises and that gets mixed up with another dough, it's not as strict as to start with. Mayim She'uvim, drawn water, isn't as strict to start with if you already have at least most of the kosher water in the mikveh. So along the same lines, this Mishnah, Mishnah Hey, and for that matter Mishnah Vav, will continue with similar examples. So once again, Masechtas Tmura, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey, Ein Mechatas Nasin Mechatas Ela Im Matan Efer. When a person or kelim became Tame, they had to be sprayed on day number 3 as well as on day number 7 with the special water called Mechatas mixed with the ashes of the Paraduma. Zok the Mishnah, Ein Mechatas Nasin Mechatas Ela Im Matan Efer. It has to be water first and then the ashes into the water. It's the placing of the ashes of the paraduma into the water that creates this water that has the power to be metahir to masmeis. Wait a second, Freik de Batanura. Let me open a chumash. V'lochul atomei v'yafar sreifa zachatas v'nosan olav mayim chayim. Isn't that mashmir that the water goes on the ashes, not the other way around? Well, look weiter in the pasuk. The end of the pasuk, it says mayim chayim el keli. So you see, the water has to come into the keli first, without the ashes, and the ashes come into the water. So how do we understand this? So the Batanur explains, first you put the water into the keli, then you put in the ashes. The other way around is not going to do. If you want this person to become tar, it has to be water first, then ashes. What does the pasuk mean afterwards, v'nos and olav mayim chayim? That comes to teach us that after you put the ashes on the water, you have to mix it with your finger, so that the water that's under the ashes should now flip to be on top of the ashes. Zakta Mishnah Vaita. Now we go on to the next sugya in our Mishnah. Ein Beis HaPras, Oisa Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras is a field that had a caver in it, and it was plowed. And we're concerned that the plow machine grinded up some of the bones and scattered it about the field. If there's a bone there that's as large as a sa'ira is a barley, would be metama the person who touches it or carries it. Therefore, Chazal were geyser on such a field that anyone who passes by within 100 amos of where the original caver was, on each side where it was plowed, he's considered to be tamei tumas meis, because maybe he touched or indirectly moved part of the bone. Why 100 amos? Chazal were Messiah, they estimated. That's how far the plow apparatus would scatter the bones. What does the word Beis HaPras mean literally? Paras means to break apart. The tumah is broken apart and it spreads out. So what does our Mishnah mean when our Mishnah says, Ein Beis HaPras, Oisa Beis HaPras? Let's say someone made a mistake, he plowed over a caver. And then he went and he plowed on this field that was already a Beis HaPras. The other fields around the Beis HaPras don't become a Beis HaPras. In other words, we're not going to be choshesh that after the first time, part of the bone went flying, and now that went flying again when I plowed it a second time. Wherever the original caver was, 100 amis on each side becomes a Beis HaPras, and that's it. So Ein Beis HaPras, a field where a caver was plowed over, even though Chazal were geyzer tumah, maybe there's a bone the size of a sa'ira, but Ein Beis HaPras is a Beis HaPras. If you plowed a second time from this field into the nearby fields, I am not worried that the fields around it also become a Beis HaPras, that they should have the same halach. Weiter, third sugi in the Mishnah, v'loi truma achar truma. You have two partners, Reuven and Shimon over here. They own payrois. Reuven comes and he's mafrish truma. That's what you're supposed to do. Then Shimon comes and he's mafrish truma. Each one is mafrish truma on all of the payrois. None of their truma is truma. None of it is chal. You see, being that each partner separated truma, that means each partner assumes he's the one that's in charge of doing this, not his friend. Each one wants to do it. And the halach is, if someone is a toirim shaloi midas chaveiroi, if I separate truma on your chelik, I'm going to do you a favor, I'll separate truma for you on your peiris, but you don't know about it. The truma is not truma. So Mamel explains about Tanura, being that each one tried to do it on the whole thing over here, and part of it is not theirs, so it's not chal. None of the truma is truma. Does everyone hold this way? Zok to batanura, Rabbi Akiva does. But the Chachamim argue in Rabbi Akiva. They hold that if Reuven came along first, and he separated the proper shear, what is the proper shear? The average person gives 1/50th for truma. So the truma is chal, and the second person's truma is dismissed. Because we assume that Shimon just didn't know that Reuven did it already. But if he did, it would have been maskim. But let's say Reuven was very skimpy on the truma that he separated. He did 1/60th, which is called an ayin ra. Or he was extra generous. He did 1/40th. That's called ayin yafa. That's very nice. But you have a partner. You can't be very nice when you have a partner without asking your partner. So it could be that the second one wasn't maskim to what Reuven did. Shimon was not maskim. Because what Reuven did in either case was not the norm, either too little or too much. So under those circumstances, Reuven's truma would work for his chelik. And the second truma would work for the second person's chelik. But our Mishnah doesn't hold that way. Our Mishnah holds nothing. If each one did it on everything, nothing is chal. So if you want to avoid problems when it comes to partners, discuss it with your partner beforehand before you do something, even mitzvahs, to make sure there are no shailas. Vayter says the Mishnah, v'loy tamura, oisa tamura. Can't do tamura twice. An animal that it itself is tamura can't make another tamura. V'loy havalad oisa tamura. And the child of a carbon, the offspring of a carbon, can't make tmura. Let's say I was maglish a carbon. It has a baby. That baby has kedusha. Then I take a chulin behem and I say, I want to substitute it with the baby of a carbon. That doesn't work. Only a carbon that I was maglish directly can give over kedusha to another animal through tmura. It can't be an animal that got its kedusha through tamura. It can't even be an animal that got its kedusha through its mother. It has to be an animal that was magdish. That could make tamura. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on this second part of this halacha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer havalad oisa tamura. Rabbi Yehuda says the baby of a carbon can make tamura. So if I'm magdish a carbon, it has a baby. That is considered hegdish. And I say I want to substitute my chulam behemah with that, both animals are kadosh. Amrulai, but the chachamim said to him, they said to Rabbi Yehuda, hegdish oisa tmura, only a carbon that I was directly magdish can make tmura. Loi havlad, not the child of a carbon, but loi tmura, not the tmura of an original carbon, oisin tmura. So of course, if you learn the Gemara, so you'll see clearly what each part of the Mishnah is trying to be medayik, but this is the general taich of the Mishnah. But Tanur lets us know that although one tamura can make another tamura, but if I have a behemoth that I was directly magdish, and I say in a behemoth's chulin, there should be a substitute for that. That behemoth's chulin gets kedusha. If I take another behemoth's chulin on the same behemoth, on the same hegdish behemoth, say this too, that gets kedusha. And you can do this 100 times. Whether you're doing it at one shot or you're taking all the chulin behemoths one after the other, it makes no difference. As long as I'm drawing the kedusha from a carbon that I was magdish, says the Batanura, then the lochis the tmura would be chal. Okay, so our Mishnah goes from the lochis of Parah Aduma to the halachis of Beis HaPras to the lochis of Truma and Tmura. Mishnah began by teaching us on people or kalim that are tamei meis, you have to spritz on them the water that's mixed with the ashes of the Parah Aduma. It has to be water first, then the ashes into the water. We learned afterwards you have to mix it. That's learned from the Psukim. Otherwise, it's not chal. There's a field called the Beis HaPras. That's if the plow machine went through a caver, so was scared. Even though it crushed the bones, it can be a piece of bone that's the size of a sa'ira that would be metame. Someone touches it or even moves it indirectly without touching it. With the original Beis HaPras, 100 ames on each side of the caver is considered an area of Tama, but one Beis HaPras can't make another Beis HaPras. If you plow it over there, we don't say the next field becomes a Beis HaPras. If two partners, each one took Truma, one after the other, and each one separated Truma for the whole Peiros, for everyone's Chelik. So our Mishnah says none of the Truma is Chal. Because the Maisa, by each one doing it, they're showing they want to do it. They're not masking that their friends should do it. And because each one did it on their friend, so nothing is chal. But the Rebbe told us that that's the sheet of Rebbe Kiva. L'maisa, the Chacham hold not that way. The Chacham say that if the first person, let's say Reuven, first of the partners, took off the regular, the average amount of truma, which is 1/50, we assume that the second person didn't realize that his shutav did it already, but he's fine with it. But if the first partner didn't do the norm, he either took too little, 1/60th instead of 1/50th, which is ayin ra, or took too much, it was too generous, 1/40th instead of 1/50th. Remember, by fractions, the smaller the number, the bigger the piece, right? So 1/60th is the smallest amount, 1/50th is the average, 1/40th is the most. 40th means you divide it by 40. So each piece is bigger than if you divided it by 50, and of course bigger than if you divided it by 60. Either way, so if the first shutif didn't do the average 1/50th, being that he didn't consult with his shutif, so we say that what the first shutif did is only chal on his chalik, not on his friend's chalik. We also learned that tamura cannot make more tamura. If I want to substitute my behemoth chulin for a behemoth that I was magdish, the kedusha goes on both. But if I take this animal that got kedusha through tamura, and I want to transfer the kedusha from that onto another chulin behemoth, that won't work. As a matter of fact, according to the Tanakama, the only thing that can make tamura is a behemoth that I was magdish outright. Even the baby of the behemoth, which is hegdish, cannot make tamura. It has to be an animal that was magdish. If Yehuda disagrees, if Yehuda says the baby could make tamura, so if I'm magdish a behemoth, it has a baby. And I say, I want my chulin behemoth to get kedusha from, I want to try to exchange it, I want to substitute it with the baby, both are kaddish according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim disagree, they say no, only a behemoth that I was directly magdish could make tamura, not a behemoth that got its kedusha through tamura, and not the child of a behemoth. The Tanam over here all based their drushes, of course, on how to learn pshat in the pasuk.